Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of Hazel Runs Her Mouth. Warning, there could be some language dropped, you never know, but when we get heated, that could happen. We'll be back with you after this brief song.
Consistency, but when you stop looking, you gon' find what's meant to be. And honestly, I'm way too done with the hoes. I cut off all my X's for your X and O's. I feel my old flings was just preparing me. When I say I want you, say it back, parakeet. Fly your first class through the air, Airbnb. I'm the best you had, you'll just be comparing me to me. I'ma add this at you. If I put you on my phone and upload it, it'll get maximum views. I came through in the clutch, more than lipsticks and phones. Wore your fake cologne just to get you alone.
Now, we do have a little bit of an interference going on this evening, as in the Bucks game is on. They're actually playing against the Pistons and are up 75-92 right now. There seems to be a little bit of hostility between Giannis and Blake Griffin, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost come to blows where Chris Middleton stepped in and, you know, did the whole, that's my teammate, leave him there alone type of deal. And there were three technicals thrown around for that. No, two technicals and one.
No, it's been technical.
Yeah, Blake got one. The other Pistons guy got a foul, and so did Chris Middleton.
Yeah.
Chris and one of the Pistons got the technicals. I don't know what the other guy got.
He got a technical too.
So it was two technicals, or three technicals altogether.
Mm-hmm.
I swear. Acting like little brats.
He's just using like all this, you know, like body on Giannis, but using more of a force.
Yeah, he's not playing a forceful game. He's trying to play a dirty game to say, look at me, I'm still the greatest type of thing.
Right.
And sadly, it's failing because they are down. They're down by 20 points at the start of the fourth quarter. So, you know, that's on them.
Oh, okay.
What? Oh. So while this is going on, we'll keep reverting back as, you know, things happen, etc. This week has been kind of crazy in regards to stuff going on in Wisconsin, mainly to do with schools. We had literally over the past, I want to say, 3-4 weeks, and it escalated this week big time. A lot of incidents involving threats at schools and the such like. This week it ended on Monday. We had a kid show up at school with a gun, or what somebody thought was a gun. The person reported it to the school security officer, who confronted the person. The kid actually ended up getting shot and is currently apparently still in hospital, which, you know, really isn't surprising with everything that went on. Then later that day, there was another incident at the sister school. It happened at Waukesha South, didn't it, the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Then Waukesha North High School had an incident involving something similar. Then we had it at Oshkosh. Then it said on the news today that three kids made a threat against a South Side Milwaukee school, and they were arrested. And then another threat was made, and I didn't catch which whereabouts it was, but it was still in Wisconsin, to another school. And as I said to my peeps earlier, it honestly feels as though, well, I actually said it to when we were with Maggie and Jim as well. It honestly feels like things are escalating to a point where I'm afraid to say, and I pray it doesn't happen, that something major is going to go down.
Right.
Because it seems to be like going more and more and more and more. Thank God that, you know, the police and the schools and everything are hot on what they see on social media and are taking action right away instead of sweeping it under the rug like some school districts have been, you know, found to have done in the past. They're taking it seriously. They're getting, you know, cops involved right away. And so these things are, you know, be thwarted, thank God. But it just feels like there's a build-up right now. There's so much tension and everything going on.
But what would make you think, like, why, like, kids are doing this?
Some of it, I do believe, is bullying. And as you know, with some kids, there's only so much they can take. Or even as adults, there's only so much you can take before you snap. And I think that's partly what's going on in some of the cases. Obviously, the details haven't come out. So we're just saying these are our thoughts. This is an actual fact of these incidents. These are just our thoughts. I think there's some that the kids are just sociopaths, which is somebody who has no emotion towards people and really doesn't, you know, care if somebody lives or dies.
Right.
That's another issue that, you know, is goes on. I know that people are also saying that there's possible gang affiliation, you know, in some things. And that is, a factor that could play a part. Either way, with the incidents that have gone on locally to us recently, we honestly do not know, you know, what the reason behind it. Nothing has been said yet. So, you know, we're just saying what our thoughts are. I know from being bullied in school, and you know the same from being bullied in, and as adults as well,
mm-hmm.
there's only so much you can take.
Right.
And the problem is that we live in a society where guns are such an available resource. They're such an available thing to get hold of. You know, everybody knows somebody who has a gun, whether it's legal or not.
Yeah, they can be right nice at school. Just for example, like my brother was in second grade, and I guess he got bullied or whatever. I never know the full story off of that, but he had brought a knife to school and got expelled.
Well, and if you remember, we had the incident with Robert where he picked up a knife that he found at the school and was walking to take it to the office. And actually got suspended, didn't he, for a week for carrying a knife. They said he should have left it where it was and gone and found help. But he was concerned because there were elementary school kids in the area at the time, and he was concerned that one of those was going to pick it up. And to be perfectly honest, you know, with the way Robert was bullied and everything as well in high school, I think, you know, there but for the grace of God, we could have been in an incident ourselves where Robert could have snapped.
Right.
Thankfully, he just was like, he could, his words, I used to say, just fuck it, Mom, and walk out of the school.
Oh, wow.
And I think, you know, that was a good thing he did. You know, and the problem with all of that, though, you know, in my mind, is that, how do I put this? I want to put this without sounding like a real bitch. There comes a point in bullying when the victim snaps and the victim becomes the aggressor. And the bully then becomes the victim. And a big part of, big thing I have in regards to that is that a lot of times you'll hear parents say, well, I tried getting hold of the school. I tried addressing it with the school. They, you know, they said it was going to be taken care of. And the biggest lie I think schools tell parents is that our school has a zero bully policy.
Yeah, right.
Because they don't deal with it. It's overlooked when it's athletes. Let's be honest, I'm going to put it out there. My son was bullied by the football team that he was a part of. He was bullied by those people who everybody in the school looked down on and looked up to, rather, and said, oh my God, he's so wonderful and all this lot. What you didn't see is the kids who on the football team who stole my son's cleats and football socks, who put tampons in his helmet and sanitary pads in his helmet, who name-called him, who bullied the living shit out of him. But the school, when they were confronted about it, said, well, Robert has to own his part in it all. That's passing it all over to my kid.
It's like they blame them.
Yeah.
Like
then when it was like, when it was brought up, I said, what are they bullying him for? And they said, well, Robert said in front of the teacher, well, they're making fun of me because we were homeless for a little while and they're saying nasty things about my brother who died. And I remember the coach looking at me and said, well, did you and your husband think of working harder so you weren't homeless?
Oh,
so the problem was always pushed onto, you know, other people. And, you know, nothing is ever the star athlete's fault. It's never, you know, the so-called good guy's fault.
Right.
It's the kid who didn't fit in, you know, that type of thing. And, you know, for me, it's really sad that that is the sort of thing that happens. It really is. But, and I think that that plays a lot in regards to a lot of the incidents that happen in schools. Now, we have seen incidents where it's not that at all. It's, you know, something completely different.
It just sucks. It's like, the thing I'm looking at is like how they get certain items that they want to put in.
Well, they, in the, you know, when you actually look back at recent shootings and everything, in regards to school shootings, the guns were always legal guns that were owned by the family.
Right.
So the kid had access to them. Now, the sad part is in a few of the cases of school shootings, the shooter themselves actually ended up killing a parent as well. So there's that, you know, well, why didn't the parents secure the weapons and all this lot? Why didn't the parents know that if their kid was like this, why did they keep guns in the house? And yeah, that's a fair question. But you can attest for this, and I will as well. Those who have psychological issues, very good at hiding it.
Mm-hmm.
Because society doesn't allow you to have a mental disorder. Society doesn't look at you as somebody who can be depressed. And, you know, especially a kid. Let's be honest, a lot of the words said to kids is, what have you got to be depressed about? You're only 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, whatever it is. They assume you have nothing to be depressed about. And that there, to me, is part of the big problem. If we can normalize, you know, if we can normalize mental health issues, like, you know, we let our kids stay off school when they're throwing up and, you know, when they got a cold and, you know, all this lot. But I think we need to start listening when our kids need a mental health day too.
Right.
I think in a way we were blessed in the sense that both of us, you know, have dealt with mental illness and the such like. And we knew that there were times when Robert didn't want to go to school and he would say, oh, you know, I'd go in there and say, what's wrong? And he'd be like, well, I've got an upset stomach. Okay, you know, lay down for a bit. Then I'd come and tell you, oh, he's got an upset stomach. He's not going to school. Then you would go in to see him. And you'd be like, what's wrong? And he'd be like, oh, I've got a headache. Okay, have you taken anything for it? No, I don't need to take anything for it. Within an hour of school starting, he would come out of his room and he would be okay. And I think it's, you know, we learned to work out what his cues were and let him have those mental health days. And I think by doing that, sadly, we couldn't save him from the people who were bullying him. Because we found out too late because he was too scared to tell us. And that still upsets me greatly that he thinks that he could come to us. But, you know, he's still doing good now. I think that it set him back about a year in regards to what he was, you know, trying to do.
Right.
And we did have a rough 18 months, I would say, with him. But you know, you could attest for the fact that he, has turned himself around now.
Right. Yeah, he has.
And the blessing for us was, and I don't like putting all of his business out there, if I'm going to, because to me this was such a major thing. A few months ago, he contacted us saying, Mom, I can't take it anymore. And I said, what's wrong? He said, I need to check myself in. And so we basically dropped everything we were doing, and we took him to the hospital. And he messaged me later, and he said, I'm sorry I disappointed you. I said, you've never disappointed me. He said, well, what about this evening? No. Disappointed me would be not coming to me and not telling me there was something wrong.
Nothing,
no. Yeah. I said, I told him I was proud that he felt that he could come to us. That to me is more important than anything, you know, there is out there. And parents have to be open to that. And I know that you had issues with that, where for you, the things that were wrong with you was put down to, oh, it's just a learning disorder. Which, yes, I'm not saying you didn't, because we know you did. But I think if they had addressed the other issues that were wrong with you, you would be in a different place than you are right now.
Yeah, I believe that.
Because, you know, when your mom found out that you suffered with schizophrenia, she denied it. If you remember, she was like,
right.
No, that's not true. That's not true. I had a family member who was schizophrenic, and they would just walk around talking to themselves and hallucinating and seeing things and stuff. And I said, he did. No, he didn't. I would have known. I said, he tried telling you. He never told me. I would have remembered. You know, it's that whole denial.
Well, the thing was, it's like, she told me that I was having, she told me about the learning disability and stuff, like, the last minute, and I was just figuring out, like, there's got to be more to it, but just didn't figure it out until
after Matthew died, sadly. Well, and
well, some of the stuff I figured out before then, but right. The rest of it just, like, just came out after he died.
I think he amplified it.
Yeah.
I keep saying that Matthew was sending to keep both of us, you know, alive, basically. But, you know, the whole thing is though, and you can probably attest to this, you're not allowed to have a mental illness in the black community.
Uh-huh.
It's talked about a lot more in the white community, but in the black community, it really seems like you are not allowed to have a mental illness. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree, and that's probably why, you know, some of these kids, how it is, because you never know how the family are, or, you know, like, single mothers trying to struggle and
right.
Stuff like that, and it just takes its effect on a person.
Well, and Maggie said, you know, she's, you know, Maggie's fostered a lot of kids and everything over the years, and she said the one thing that she noticed is among her kids who were black, who she had, they all had to go to therapy. Apparently, Racine Social Services makes all kids who are in foster care go to therapy. And
the three she has.
Yep, but this gets me to the point on that. The black kids wouldn't go. There's nothing wrong with me, and all this lot. Yet, 90% of the black kids she had would then self-medicate with alcohol, drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you know, break it down, a lot of drug use, especially smoking weed and everything, is because it does calm some people down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I personally wish the people below us would smoke a bit more if it would calm them the fuck down. Because they're out of fucking control. But that's just my thought. What do you think?
Well, I do agree with you. With, you know, some of the people just, you know, smoke weed just to either they deal with their mental problems or they just problems in general.
Right.
It's just, you know, sad that, you know, they just can't figure out, like, another way to...
Well, and another issue is, as well, is that, you know, with all the cuts and everything being made to state-run insurance and benefits and everything, a lot of the stuff is becoming very hard to come by. And if you haven't got insurance to be able to take care of yourself, you know, what are you to do?
No, I agree. Just one thing that is like, I can't get this.
Right.
My kids. I think they just need some more, like, resources.
Absolutely.
Out there. Well, you think, like, the behavioral health, they coming out more and helping.
Right.
Them. But I think it's going to be just more, like...
Oh, I agree with you.
But especially, like, in school and stuff like that. Although I was, like, you know, like, with the speech class or whatever, I just wish there was more that they could do for me.
Well... See, and that's where part of the issue comes is that, and please don't take offense at this, parents have got to step in and fight more for their kids. Speech therapy isn't just something that went on at school, and I'll share something that a lot of people don't know. Robert had speech therapy right up from when he was 3 up to when he was 7. Because he stuttered. And I mean really, really badly. He had speech therapy in school. I also took him to a doctor to get a referral, and he had speech therapy at Children's Hospital. So there comes a point where parents have to start, not put all of it on the schools to take care of. And that's the other issue, because it's not the school's job to parent your child. You've got to do it as well.
Right.
It's not the school's job to teach your kids how to read and write. Sit down on your fat asses and do it with them. There's so many, things that kids just need more guidance from. And parents, sadly, are failing in my mind. There's too many of them wanting to be their kids' best friends and everything and afraid to discipline them. And then you've got parents who are unfit to be fucking parents. That's what annoys me. They're popping out kids left, right, and center, and I can't even, have any. It feels like I can't have any more.
It's just like they need to have parent classes, maybe available.
Well, not only that, is we got to go back to when we were in, in schools where you would have home ec classes that taught you how to take care of a home and to cook and clean and sew and everything.
Right.
Go back to when you had to, do you remember some classes, I don't know if you had it, when you were in school or not, but you'd have those dolls that mimicked being a baby and
yeah.
You had to take them home and stuff. Go back to doing stuff like that. Like you said as well, driver's ed back in school. Me and Maggie were saying, we feel that all schools should have what we call a real life class that teaches you things such as how to apply for jobs, how to write a resume, how to open a bank account, how to pay bills, that type of thing.
Right. There are some of those classes, but not all of those classes exist.
Right.
Ooh.
That was a nice one. And the sad thing is to us, that's what should be out there, There should be those classes available to help kids.
Right. It was open like they were saying recently while I was mentioning that they're gonna try to bring back drivers there from
right.
Public schools, especially how people are driving. Oh my God.
Well, and the thing is, it's not just needed for kids. I think if you are stopped for reckless driving, or if you are caught driving without a license, or a bunch of things, if you're caught driving without a license, I feel that you should be told, instead of being given a ticket, you'd be given a choice. Go take driver's ed classes that are run by the state or whatever, or pay a fine. Because to me, that would then help a lot of people who don't have licenses be able to get their license and learn how to drive properly.
That's true.
I know.
But back to, with parents and all that stuff, game over. Okay.
Nice,
they won. Yep. That's all. Back to the kids and whatnot. It's just such that you got, kids that, their parents are trying to make them grow up real fast.
Well, and not only that, or you've got parents having these kids and everything, then expecting the schools to raise them. And expecting family to raise them, and expecting siblings to raise them.
Right.
And it's sickening. To me, it really is.
Yeah, it is. It's like they should be. The parents should be doing like the babysitting and stuff.
If you've got kids, look after them yourself. I didn't have anybody babysit for Robert. Robert, actually, tell a lie. I had Robert's aunt look after Robert when me and Robert's dad went to go pick my parents up from the airport when Robert was 10 months old. Then the next time Robert was actually was babysat was when we moved to South Milwaukee. I didn't trust anyone with him. That's the whole thing. I didn't. That's my job, kid. It's not anybody else's job to raise him. It's mine. And I think I did a damn good job at it.
Oh, yeah. Like you said, with the stuff that's been going on before he met a certain person.
Right.
Which, you know, changed his life.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that, you know, he's got that going on.
And yeah, it took him a while to get find his feet and stuff and everything, but he's getting there now.
Right.
But on that note, we are going to go and play a song, and we'll be back.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
Okay, so we're back. Would you men folk like to talk about what we, the crap fest that we watched on Sunday?
Oh, yeah, Starcade. Once again, they only did it for like over an hour and like trying to hype it up, and it just, like, the matches were okay, but it was just like, it was just trash. Like, why would you have like only an hour, over an hour of it, and doing like three matches? You want to just show like the whole thing. Like, don't hype something up if you're going to like only show like an hour of it.
Do that. Let's be honest.
Right. And just like, of course, it's like the third time they did Starcade, but it was the second time they had it live, but not like the whole 2 or 3 hours that they're supposed to have. So with the other matches that they have, we don't even know like who won or not. And it's just...
To be honest, because of how crappy it was and that they only show an hour of it, it's like, do we even care?
Right.
What were your thoughts on it, Mike? Explain how they used to do it for those people who are listening who may not remember and everything.
Early 1990s, WCW Starcade. They had one or two ways. Sometimes they put extra monitors on it. They stopped doing that after a while. The first Starcade I can remember where they actually threw a monitor on it was probably Legends Reunion, which is where they brought a whole bunch of legends back, and the show was like pretty much centered around the legends. They had people on there that were like newcomers in the organization, but it was more about the legends than anything like being inducted into the WCW Hall of Fame or whatnot. And sometimes the legends will have matches. And then they became Starcade Battle Bowl, the Lethal Lottery, which was then, let's see the best way to explain it. Battle Bowl, the Lethal Lottery was pretty much, they took the names of the baby faces and of the heels, good guys and bad guys, for those of you that don't know that, those terms of wrestling. They put them all in a barrel. They mixed them together. Two names would be drawn, babyface or heel, and they would team up together against another team that they also chose from random for this same tumbler. The team that will win would then go on to the very end where all the winning teams would then participate in the Battle Royal or Royal Rumble, as most people would know it. And whoever won became the Battle Bowl champion.
And it's one of those things, you're just thinking why they don't have that scenario now. And or had, like, at least, because from what I heard, like, they probably was having, like, a title match at this year's Starcade, but just didn't post it up or didn't show it, which is kind of like their mistake from putting that, you know, not putting it out there.
Well, my thing is that I don't understand why, if you're going to do a pay-per-view like that, you're only going to show an hour of it.
Right.
I could understand if it was on regular TV. You know what I mean? But
right,
it wasn't. It was on the WWE Network.
Right, and I'm sorry, but they should be ashamed of themselves just doing that again.
I agree.
Well, hopefully next year they will learn from this and...
Yeah, that's WWE. Until Finn, you know, has serious competition going against him, he's not going to admit to any faults. You know what I mean?
But
it's a shame because, you know, if you're going to do a pay-per-view like Starcade, if I'm wrong, you guys can correct me, but you've got to stick to the original format of the name.
Yeah. Or at least they should have, like, just like I was saying, they should have just had the, show all the matches, not just a few.
Right.
And
one of the dogs was farted, and it's really bad. I have to just mention it. I heard it as well. And I'm, like, sitting here, like, trying to get through this without gagging. Oh, Lord. Quit laughing. But anywho, carry on.
I'm thinking, like...
Sorry, I was going to say, to me, it's similar to, you know, a couple of the pay-per-views they did, where... I'm trying to think, was it Hell in a Cell? Where you said the majority of the cards were cell matches, and then they changed it, and it's like two matches now, yet they'll still call it Hell in a Cell.
Right. I know TNA, like, had all their matches they, let's see, they called it what, like lethal, I think it was lockdown, they called it. But they had like all their matches, like in the steel cage match.
Right, but WWE did the same, is what I'm saying. They changed a lot of their things where it would be, the name of the show would be, I'm just using an example, from the cell. And they used to have majority of the matches being cage matches. And then they stopped it, and it's only like two. Same with Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And I guess like Vince's mentality, which I'm just assuming, but I'm not saying I'm right or wrong about it, but he don't want all of his wrestlers to be injured from if they would have had it, you know, the whole night, like have all like in cage matches and stuff. But I'm thinking they should have at least like maybe three or four matches.
Yeah, you
that,
I understand not having them all in there, that's fine.
Thinking like maybe having, maybe they could do Elimination Chamber matches. They could have did four for like tag teams and the two titles and whatever the case may be. And
what pay per view do you think they should bring back, Mike? That you know they're not going to, but. Okay, you're gonna have to explain what Halloween has to do.
Well, let's see if I can explain as best as possible. Well, Halloween has it at one time it was just a basic pay per view for WCW. And usually they would end it off with like a cage match or something like that, you know, something extravagant. And then they moved on to Halloween Havoc Chamber of Torture. If some of you don't know what a Chamber of Torture is, it'd be at least, well, let's see, two teams of five. The ring would be surrounded by a cage, and then there'll be a smaller cage in the very dead center of the ring, which housed an electric chamber. Your objective was to get opponent of either side inside said electric chair and pull the switch. Then from that, it became Halloween Havoc, spin the wheel, make the deal. And what that was is the two people that were in the main event. Before the match, during the event, they would spin a wheel. Whatever match the wheel landed on is the match they then would have. The first one I can remember would be Big Van Vader, when he was known as that, against Cactus Jack. Their match was a last man standing match. Now, back then, a last man standing match was a little bit different than what it is now. Back then, a last man standing match involved you pinning your opponent, and then after the pinfall, they would have 10 seconds to return to their feet. Cactus Jack lost to Vader because as he was returning to his feet, Vader's manager, Harvey Race, stun gunned Cactus Jack in the leg, causing him not to be able to return to his feet, so Vader won that one. Next one they have was Sting and Jake the Snake Roberts. They spun the wheel, and the match landed on a coal miner's glove match. Now, a coal miner's glove was a leather glove with a chain wrapped around it, and they had it on a pole. Whoever would get to the coal miner's glove would be able to use it. At the end of that match, Jake the Snake, seeing that he was losing, had Cactus Jack bring a black bag out to the ring. The black bag contained a cobra, and when Jake the Snake was attempting to have the cobra fight Sting, Sting kicked the back at him, and the cobra latched onto the top of the bottom of his wall, latched onto his cheek, thus letting Sting get the pinfall, and the match was over. That's a little brief history of Halloween Havoc. Stop all that after a while.
January 8th. And drop on.
it on every. Yes, they have it as an arena on almost every game that WWE's come out with in the past 4 or 5 years.
And next week on Wrestling Classes with Mike, we should be talking about something else.
But there are like matches that you have seen in the past that should be. You think they should come back to this like this different era? Like about, I'll say blindfold match.
The most memorable, of course, is the first one.
I think the last one was, I got this Triple H and somebody else. Because I know he cheated to win, but I'm just trying to think against who it was. I'm not even sure. But yeah, like, there are some matches they should, you know, bring back. Like, with the King of the Ring, have like a tournament, not like. Right. But it should be, like, bring that back. Even if it's. If they didn't have the final match on the pay per view, they had it on the Raw, so. Which was. Mm-hmm.
They had the whole tournament. Well, usually back in the day, they had the semifinals and the finals on paper.
Right. Which is just why they didn't do that, you know, at that time.
To be perfectly honest,
he could do what he wants.
Because let's be honest, we said it about like the pre-shows and everything. Having a two-hour pre-show for a pay-per-view is ridiculous. It really is. The best part of pay-per-views in the past was the 30-minute countdown. Because they hyped you up. Oh, they were hyping you up.
Right.
To me, it's, you know, it's like a pep rally. You don't have four-hour-long pep rallies. The idea is to pump you up, get you back in there. And part of the problem, I think, is that, as we say it again, there's no competition. So there's no one for Vince to worry about coming in and doing what he should be doing. And, yeah, you've got other fans, like wrestling shows starting up and everything, but they're not that big yet. They can't command the audiences and everything. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Right, but just let's just say that, you know, the fans is going away more and more. Even before these companies ever came up, I admit that they were losing fans, and it's like.
Well, of course they are.
And the sad thing was, it's like he still didn't care. That they were losing fans.
Because the fact of it is that he knows he can go overseas. He can go to different, like, Europe countries around Europe, and he can go to the United Arab Emirates and put on a show, and the crowds are going to go insane there for him.
Yeah, that's true.
That's part of what the issue is. He's got all of that. He doesn't need, you know, anything else, really, if you think about it.
He's got no competition, so he's not working. Look how good the attitude is. Look how good the early 80s was when he had Hogan at the front.
And I think that's part of when people are saying they like the attitude era and everything. It's not so much the blood and the violence and all that lot. It was the fact that there were so many other shows that were running against WWE that WWE had to bring their A game each and every time.
Look who he had as the frontman for the Attitude Era, the working class. class blue collar guy that everybody could relate to. How many of us wish we could go to work on a weekly basis and beat the fuck out of our boss and get paid to do it and have no repercussions for it?
Right.
In the 80s, he had Hogan was the front man. Hogan was on the talk shows and on the magazine covers, and he was the champion. Everybody put him in front of him. All the big guys you put in front of him, you know, Andre, Big John,
yep.
He eliminated them all. So Hogan was like the guy out there taking shit, like, I'm going to lead this ship. Vince McMahon being the captain, but I'm going to be the first mate. I'm going to lead this ship to where it ain't been at. Now, that's exactly what Hogan said. He has the commercials. He has the movies. He has the magazine covers. He has the late night talk show appearances. He has the personal appearances. Austin was the same way. Austin, new attitude, because now the kids that grew up watching WWE in the 80s are now teenagers. What was the attitude era about? Teenage rebellion. And who better to put in line of that pursuit? Who better to put in line than the one guy that rebelled against the authority? Stone Cold Steve Austin.
As I say, I think if he had more competition,
Well,
and the thing is, he had a threat with TNA at one point, and then TNA started seeing that they were pulling in, and they were pulling in good numbers at one point. Let's be perfectly honest. There were some weeks that they were out showing WWE, and then I think this is what happened there. Their ego started getting too big for them. Do you know what I mean? They were like, okay, well, now we're up there. Or we've shown everybody we're better than this. Now we don't have to work as hard. And then bringing in stupid storylines and stuff.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's just like what's going on right now with the Wednesday Night Wars.
Right.
Like, right now, both shows are doing, like, poorly in ratings, but you do still got, like, one that's going over the other. I think, like, NXT only won one time with the ratings and whatever, but never none of the ratings as of late went over, like, a million.
Right, but at least now on a Wednesday, you're starting to get that back and forth again. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And we haven't had that for a long time. We haven't had that fight.
AEW.
That's Cody Rhodes, Jim Ross.
Yeah.
All that lot are now over there and recruiting pretty damn quickly. But I think, as I say, part of the problem is that it's for those shows to, like, get up there, they've got to work hard. And thankfully, when you've got people like Jim Ross and that lot involved in the wrestling fed, they know the business.
Mm.
It's not like they're just picking it up out of nowhere and starting it. They are the business. They really are. Cody Rhodes is basically, he was born into wrestling.
Yep.
You know, no matter which way you look at it, he was born into wrestling. But as I say, with regards to business, pay-per-views and his shows, he has no competition. He has nobody yet to run against. And that was the sad thing. You saw TNA go down so fast and so quick. And to me, the downfall started when Hogan took over and said, we're going to change something here and bring back an old ring. Because part of the reason people loved TNA was that hexagonal ring.
Right. Yeah, they do.
But it's too late. Then you got the stupid storylines with Brooke Hogan and shit going on as well.
That's
Well, I was just going to add something. That with these Wednesday Night Wars, like we've been saying, like, I guess the only thing that probably AEW is missing is that big star. And their champion.
Well,
let's just
know. Champion WWE is champion is Chris Jericho. And like everybody has seen like him being champion before. And I know they expect
WWE they're giving the title to people that already had it. You got all this fresh new talent that you're bringing in from NXT and all these new faces that you're bringing in. Yes, who's the belt always going to? Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins, Give the belt to somebody else that ain't had it. So far, the only time he did that was with Kofi Kingston. And get who did he lose the title to?
Right
back to Brock Lesnar.
See, and that was the one thing. We all agreed that we had no issue with him holding it. With him losing it, sorry. Because he did have a good run. He did bring some joy to that belt again. But it was who he lost it to and how he lost it.
Exactly.
That was the bullshit thing. And I just passed on.
Oh, God.
But I'm going to play a song and then we will come right back.
We're going to talk about more about it.
Be starting something.
Jones, you have the floor.
Me having the floor. If you get it on the floor, get it on the floor. No, just kidding. I'm being lost my mind. Okay, Libby.
He loves you. You better say something, because I'm going to have to find someone else.
Well, I'm trying to think of what to...
We just witnessed a game. There's wrestling.
Well, right now, they're showing on USA. It's like the historic moments of WrestleMania.
Oh, they used to be waiting until WrestleMania about to come around to do this.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just surprised they're doing this so...
Why are they doing it so early? Like, hell. I understand Royal Rumble is coming around. That's like the road to WrestleMania. But don't you want to wait until WrestleMania about to roll around and start showing greatest moments of WrestleMania?
Well, talk about it while it happens.
Remember that. They were showing people like when Kofi was winning.
Yeah. That dude's face never gets old when Undertaker lost. Oh my god.
He wasn't actually supposed to find out the reason behind it.
I heard, yeah.
But,
if you can tell the look on Undertaker's face when he sat up and he realized that the match was over, he looked around like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
It was a surprise they lost this dude. It's like, as we know now, he had a concussion during the match. So it's like, he got up like, what the hell is that? Like, I just lost? I did? Like, to who?
Yeah, who was I wrestling?
Like, what, Paul Heyman can't even know the world?
Oh, yeah, that's funny. But, do any of y'all have, like, a WrestleMania moment?
Nope.
I wasn't there.
Well,
no,
I
I'm just saying, what you see on TV.
Well, we were talking about it originally, what we talked about once before, I gave nothing.
The one that gets me every time is Shawn Michaels' super kick on this play.
Oh, during
the yeah. Oh, that one just...
You have to relive that on the game, too. It's
I guess for me, it's not when normally I would say like when I was at this WrestleMania 27, but that's not it. I have to say that my moment would have to be in well, it was John Cena and The Rock, but what made it like good is like when John Cena finally beat him, but before the title, that had to be in my moment. Oh wow, they get to interview him. Some of them.
You can tell in Hogan's voice when you talk about this match or RJ DVD, you can tell he had that sadness in his voice having to talk about this all over again. Because he didn't know. Technically, when this match went down, Hogan didn't know what was going to happen. Because Andre
right.
just came on faster. Nobody had talked about it.
Slammed him. And here's the leg drop. 1, 2, 3.
Because what happened was, like, the whole story is tired. Andre just came off that shirt. And usually, Andre, when he walked into the locker room, you know, he was, like, happy-go-lucky playing cards or whatever. But nobody had talked to him. So, Hogan went to Vince and was like, so what's going to happen tonight? And Vince is like, don't worry, everything will be fine. So Hogan's like, okay, so how's the match going to happen? Feel nothing. So Hogan took out a notepad and a pen, and he wrote down the whole match in its entirety. He left the finish open because he didn't know how the match was going to end. So then when the match started and he realized that Andre was doing everything that he had wrote down, he's like, oh, okay, so it's going to go like this. And then all of a sudden, you're an Andre. Well, he's like, pretty much hit him with the body slam. And then you heard him, leg drop. Hit him with the leg drop. One, two, three. Andre passed the torch to Hogan.
This is
awesome. Bypass, all the great moments that happen, y'all gonna bypass from 3 all the way up to 18.
They went to 6, they talk about 6 for a little bit, then they went to other ones.
The whip's supposed to actually be a John Cena versus Hogan match, too. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, though.
Nah. Hogan can't even do it.
Oh. Match for WrestleMania, both back-to-back years, match of the year.
Oh, the way he landed right there on the cameraman.
But
what if the role was reversed? What if, like, Shawn Michaels actually beat him on 26 and didn't have to retire? Oh, Undertaker. One, two, three. Oh, now they're showing 26.
Rock.
We're off in the rock.
Every time they would have just Austin whooped his ass. Except for the last match, because Austin was about to retire anyway. Austin let the Rock have that last match because he was going to retire anyway.
People's elbow.
I remember that one at 17. That was crazy. He wasn't supposed to beat you at 19 either, but you were about to retire, so you let him have it.
And then after that, with the Rock went into facing who? After that? It was Goldberg.
Just like John Cena has done.
Right now.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Yeah, some people ruined that match for me. So I had to watch it at home all over again.
I was standing between you and the person trying to fight you. Pregnant with Matthew, too.
Well, they did end up going against each other one more time.
Yeah. I might want to speak though because like
okay, Okay, I don't know if anybody's seen the trailer for Black Widow. It is out right now. And they finally got a date when the movie actually gonna come out, which is May 1st of this coming year. And like the trailer was a little bit interesting. Like, because they say it's supposed to set up after Civil War. And for people, like, you know, they're trying to, hoping they made it, like, you know, dark and all. Oh, God.
That's quite disturbing.
Yeah, that was crazy. But what else I was supposed to look for? I probably can't even.
Are you gonna read the ID?
The Yoda.
Sorry, stereo.
That's funny. Well, I know we used to talk about that dude that did that McLovin ID.
Oh, that was hilarious.
The guy in the bar.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that was hilarious. You're right, this is fake. I'm going to read this out for everyone. Walmart has announced that everyone who shares this link will be sent a $75 coupon.
Yeah, that's a bullshit thing.
I kind of figured it was. That's why I was just like, I seriously doubt it. Let's see.
The best part of waking up.
Oh, wow.
I'm surprised
they
didn't have the link to put saying that.
McLovin,
that would have been hilarious. Oh, my God. It didn't came to mind. It would have
been funny. It would have. Wait, would that be enough
letters, though? Yes, you could do it. Oh, it would have been enough letters?
Yeah.
I'll do that with the second car. If I get a second car, get the Brewer's Place and be like McLovin. Oh, man. Oh, they're going to come out with a longest version of Monopoly. They call it the longest game ever.
Well, about the one movie that we're all anticipating coming to America.
Two.
Oh my God, yeah.
Well, you was mentioning like one of the things that I think it was part of the movies that wasn't gonna have like a sequel until
some of
it all changed.
Yeah. Some of them included ones like Coming to America where there wasn't gonna be a sequel. But Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall, if they were going to do one, wanted to make sure that all the same, you know, they could get as many of the original cast members as they could.
Right.
Because apparently they were up for doing it one time before, but James Earl Jones wasn't available. And the producers and everything were like, well, let's get somebody else to play the king. And they're like, you can't do that. If James Earl Jones was dead, then you still couldn't have another king. You would just have to say he passed away, you know, because it was like having Mustafa
right.
in The Lion King have a different voice. You know, it just won't work. so it was postponed because of that. And, you know, thankfully, it's all coming together now. But the question is, will Randy Watson be in this? Oh, God.
I'm about to say, he'll be old and bald and. Randy Watson won't have that much hair.
Can you imagine Randy Watson with a bald head and he's going to have that one ponytail at the back clinging on to it for dear life?
Oh, man.
Be funny.
It would be, but I'm thinking that, because they said he's supposed to look for his long-lost son or whatever.
Yeah. But it's like, who did he mess with?
Right.
So I've got to
figure out,
like,
that's it
for these, like, this
was
probably one of the,
Bat Bears. Do you know what? If it turns out the mother of his child is Arsenio Hall's female character, I'm going to just about bust myself laughing.
Well, she did kind of jerk him off during the basketball game.
No, I said Arsenio Hall's female character. When he
I thought you meant the girl that he was messing with. Her sister or whatever. That's what I thought you meant.
No.
So most likely this movie probably come out in the fall of next year, I believe.
I'm going to see if I can find what they said. Release date, August 7th, 2020.
Summer.
You know that's going to clear the box office. Nobody else can release a movie this summer that is going to even come close.
Oh, that is the title, Coming to America.
Yes. And the two is...
the number two.
Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Stop!
I was going to say, that was a good entrance, too.
Hey, stop.
Had them come out in the same uniform. Okay.
It says, after the events of the first film, former Prince Akeem Jaffer. Okay. Is set to become King of Zamunda when he discovers he has a son he never knew about in America. A street savvy Queens native named Lavelle. Honoring his royal father's dying wish to groom this son as the crown prince, Akeem and Semi set off to America once again.
Hey, but hold on, explain that one again.
He has a baby by someone who. Okay, he's about America, a street savvy Queens native named Lavelle.
Okay, who was that at the time?
Akeem.
That's what I said. Who did Akeem have sex with? And I said, I'll laugh my ass up silly if it turns out to be Arsenio Hall's female.
Well, he
must have really sold his royal oats.
Oh, yes!
What?
Eddie Murphy as Prince Akeem. Murphy also plays Randy Watson. Yes!
Yeah, Oh, God. That's going to be funny.
He's still married to Lisa. Tracy Morgan's in it. Wesley Snipes is in it.
Yeah, I know Wesley Snipes is in it. I don't know how his character, he get that like added on there as a character.
General Aziz.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, now they're saying this one is saying the release date is December 18th.
But this is the one that everybody else do. Who the hell is this? Eddie Murphy has sex with.
Yep. So I'm going through all of the different things to see if it says.
If he didn't have sex in the first movie, yeah. He got married at the end, so.
Okay.
The only thing we can think of is like probably after she said no, we may have had a fling or whatever. That's the only thing that would make sense. Otherwise, it don't make sense.
In that period of time when he left there and went back to Africa and he thought he was going to end up marrying that one chick.
Right.
That's all I've got anyway.
That's just crazy. And also, like, what they did, too, like, before they was talking about the movie, they was talking about the 10 kids he had.
Crazy.
Yes, two with his current wife. Was it three with his first wife, two with his second wife.
He's got one with what's-her-face, Scary Spice.
Yep.
However, I do have a question. If he was a lover, did he get with her friend?
Apparently he did. He ended up having a sex with another child before he got married on the damn movie. That nobody knows.
We're all about
his real life.
Anywho, we're going to play another song and we'll be back in a second. I got to find something awesome.
Living crazy, that's the only way.
Wait, there's a... Hold on, I got to play something for y'all to hear. And I will explain what happened. Not the ringtone.
You have to press play for them to turn it up.
Just in case, I'll play it one more time.
Oh, he was like
nasty. Yeah, a kid with a toy gun was saying, move the fuck over and stuff like that. And I don't know if that was a mom or stuff.
Probably.
Didn't pay her any mind or whatever. Then he just hit her in the head with the toy gun. And it looked like she was about to get up and beat him up.
I'm sorry, I'm just enjoying the night that I lost my mind in this house. And if you remember, I was on the phone with Robert when they announced the Hardys were back. And I screamed down the phone. I had you sat on one side of me, Sean sat on the other. Both of you looked at me like I'd lost my mind. Oh, that was a beautiful night.
It was a moment.
But anywho, we're going to have to cut this short as my laptop is about to die very soon. But AJ will be back later this week. Do you want to say when your show's off?
I know Bucks Talk is tomorrow. That I know is going to happen.
We can actually do shows. We're going to be at a friend's on the weekend, but we can actually do a show from there because their service is pretty good when you're upstairs. It's just when you're downstairs, it's a bit
right.
Crappy.
So we might add something. Like, I have, like, my show on this coming Monday, but it could get changed to this weekend when we're at a friend's house.
We need to have a show called Mike's Wrestling Mayhem. Where he picks his favorite wrestling event for, you know, one event each week and talks about it. But anywho, we will be back, as I say, AJ will be back tomorrow and you'll hear me next Wednesday. And what goes on between now and then, who knows. So that's a good night for me.
And a good night for me.
And he's already asleep. So good night to everybody.